City Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Board meeting to order, please. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Ms. Hunnic?
Present.
Hines?
Here.
Mr. Bourne?
Here.
Brown?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
And Mr. Stevens?
Here.
Dino's here as well.
I'd like to apologize for my tardiness to everyone. Have all members of the board had the opportunity to review the January 12, 2012 minutes?
Yes.
Are there any changes, corrections?
No. Move to approve.
Have a motion by Mr. Brown to approve, second by Mr. Smart. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Has any member of the board had any ex parte communication with any respondent or party to any claim, case? Are there any announcements?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Case number 6, which is case number CEB01-1207, which is address 231 Reba Street. That case is in compliance on 2312. And also, case number 9, which is case number CEB02-1212, address Marion Street Lot, which is given by the parcel number, so it's a Marion Street Lot, parcel number 53349400300. And that property is also in compliance on 2912. Other than that, I don't have any other.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Chairman. Now, every once in a while, you'll come up, there'll be a code enforcement case that comes out. They don't happen very often. What I'll do in those situations, I'll make a copy of the case. I'll give it to Amy and I'll just share it with you. Basically, this is a case out of Miami where the Miami Code Board found the Coconut Grove Playhouse in non-compliance and fined them. But basically, their order said they were based upon, all the order said was, they just made a motion. There was evidence, and he said, based on the evidence presented, we find him in non-compliance and enter an order. And the court now found that was insufficient. And it had to be, that all orders had to have conclusions of law, findings of fact, to be sufficient. I know when we do our orders, they have those things. So we're in compliance, but, so it's self-explanatory. I'll give Amy the case, and she'll share it with everybody. Right. It's kind of a page and a half case, but it's very interesting.
Thank you, Mr. Yeah.
Okay.
Would all members of the city staff who are going to be testifying today please come forward and be sworn? Before we actually get started and hear cases, I'd like to advise our will be coming forward to testify regarding your case, that you would please turn your cell phones to either silent or vibrate mode. In addition to that, as you approach us and the podium, please speak into the microphone so that the Madam Secretary can record your comments for the record. Okay. Are there any members of council present today? We have two lien reviews. We'll begin with lien review number 1, which is CEB05061356 612 Verdale, Michael Cash.
Mr. Chair, Hector Garcia will be handling the lien reviews. He is delayed or at police department if we can pass those.
Sure. Mr. Cash, if you would, we'll get to your case a little bit later. Again, then, with case number 1, which is CEB101115 Patty D. Webb. The property is located at 731 Derbyshire Road. Is the respondent here?
Name is Patty D. Webb.
Charles Field, F-I-E-L-D.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Field, what is your relationship to Ms. Webb, just for the record?
I am Ms. Webb's brother-in-law.
Thank you. John, what can you tell us about the case?
Good morning. My name is John Stinson. I'm Code Enforcement Inspector employed at the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is case number CEB 1011150, City of Daytona Beach versus Patty D. Webb. Property is at 731 Derbyshire Road. Parcel number is 52380805-0050. Currently, everything has been corrected on the property except for the finaling on the permit for the roof repair. Outside of that, everything else is done. I would like to amend to the next cutoff so we can get that permit finaled and close this case out.
Ms. Webb, do you understand what Mr. Stinson has requested? He's actually only going to allow you until March 1st to complete your project and bring the property into compliance.
The permit has to be finaled. So that means the building department has to come out and do a final inspection and say, you're all done, and sign off. And that's it. In fact, you may be able to go downstairs and give it them now after you get done. Right. So just check with them downstairs. No, the permit was pulled. He had the permit. It just has to be the final inspection, and then that's it. From the building department downstairs. When you leave here, just go down there, and they should be able to take care of you.
Chair, would entertain a motion amending our previous order allowing the respondent until March 1st, 2012 to bring the property into compliance be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Brown. What's the second, Mr. Borns? Second by Mr. Borns. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign.
John, just as a quick question, were we able, was the, you know, she was going through to get some assistance
right,
from
to
able
yes.
to get that?
Yes.
Good deal. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, John. Case number two is CEB 041154, C & Son Properties, LLC. The property is located at 1065 North Atlantic Avenue. Is the respondent here?
Yes, he's here.
Good morning.
Sure.
My name is Ronan Bazak, R-O-N-E-N, B-A-Z-A-K, from C & Son Properties. Son is Sonny. I do.
And Mr. Bazak, what did you say your relationship is to C & Son Properties, LLC?
I'm a manager owner.
Thank you. One time.
My name is Tom Clegg. I am employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. Case number CEB 041154, City of Daytona Beach for C & Son Properties, LLC. Property is located at 1065 North Atlantic. Parcel number is 36143209020240. Violations is the maintenance code commercial long form. Basically, what's happened since the last meeting, this is supposed to have been in compliance as of February cutoff. The owner and his brother had to go out of the country in January. It was suspended back in January, but I think they were delayed. The city's requesting to amend this and to listen to the respondent to how long he thinks it's going to take to finish it, because we might be talking 2 to 3 months more down the line.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, gentlemen, we're trying to fix this building in like two stages. One stage is the easy part, which is the cleanup, which we already started. As you see, we have a dumpster there. It's almost full. We take all the old furniture, fix up and put the new tile in the place, And the next one would be possibly either repairs or replace of windows and doors. I would assess about 90 days that we will need. And if not, I mean, I will go in front of the board and ask for an extension. But we are working full force on it right now.
So do you believe May 2nd will be sufficient time?
I believe.
Is the property in usage at this time?
No, sir.
They do have general contract on board.
Are there any safety hazards, Tom, at all?
Can I ask a question? When did you take possession of this? This is a new name for the same property, a new LLC?
Yes, ma'am. We took possession a few months ago, but when we bought this place, it wasn't a bad time for us because we were supposed to go out of the country for a little while, and we knew we were going to start the beginning of February, and we are right on schedule.
Okay.
But even then, I mean, I assessed beginning of February to start work.
Approximately how long do you think this will take?
I believe 90 days. I believe 90 days. And if there's still things that needs to be done after the 90 days because of ordering material or something like that, I would stand in front of the board and ask for an extension.
Based on the testimony of the inspector and the respondents, Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order allowing the respondent until May 2nd, 2012, bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So
such a motion by Mr. Smart.
Second.
I think Mrs. Himes had the second.
That's fine.
Mrs. Himes has a second. Are there questions or comments by members of the board?
Could we have progress reports? I think that, I mean, this case has been open since April.
Mr. Smart,
last
would you amend
April.
Your order to require
yes.
that we have progress reports on what dates?
When?
Monthly, please.
Yeah, I think yeah. beginning of next month, 3-1.
Okay. And you want a progress report as in form of what? Like a letter or something?
If you can communicate with the inspector, okay. and that way he's able to update us.
All right, Ms. Hines, would you also amend your second? Are there additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, we've allowed you until May 2nd to bring the property into compliance. Mr. Bezac.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Case number 3, CEB 0711103, is in compliance as of February 1st, 2012. Case number 4, CEB 0112 03, LG hyphen TR hyphen CI Incorporated, G hyphen Gang Incorporated, and Arjan and Michelle Dadani. Property is located at 777 Main Street, and I'm assuming that's responded.
Yes, he's here.
Hello,
Pete Chikalis. TSAKALIS.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is David Newell, Fire EMS Specialist for the City of Daytona Beach, and my credentials are on file with the city. This is case number CB01-12-03, LGTRCI Incorporated. Versus the City of Daytona Beach. It's located at 777 Main Street. The violations had to deal with the fire sprinkler system. Up to date, they have completed almost everything that has been required of them to bring their sprinkler system into compliance. The only thing that is left that's outstanding is they have to drop some sprinkler heads into some offices that were built on the second floor. I have spoke with all the partners, and I've also spoke with the manager company, and I have here a signed contract to complete that portion of the sprinkler heads into those offices 2 days after permit, 2 days after approval of the permit from the City of Daytona Beach. That company has stated in a letter that I have that they will turn in for the permit tomorrow, and so the turnaround time I expect them next week to have the permit in hand and be able to do it probably within a couple days short after. Requesting a continuance till next month on this specific case.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
If you'd like to make comments, please feel free to.
Yeah, I'm sorry that this wasn't taken care of earlier. We took care of most of the stuff, but I guess there was some confusion. Some of the correspondence or the mail was going to an address that they do not live anymore, and they were out of the country, so that's what happened. But we're taking care of it right away.
Is there another address that you all would prefer the mail to go to?
Yeah, we're going to...
If you can tell the secretary. And
yeah, we'll take care of it. We'll have it sent right to the building from now on, so there's no problems.
Is that the 777 Main Street
yes, sir.
Location? Okay. The inspector, Mr. Newell, has indicated that he wants to allow you all until March 1st, 2012, bring the property into compliance.
Yes,
Do you
sir.
Have an issue with that at all?
No, sir. It should be done in probably next week.
Okay.
It'll be totally done. He was there yesterday. I went with Mastercraft, and he showed me what to do, and we're going to take care of it right away.
Thank you. I would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until March 1st, 2012 to bring the property into compliance. Oh, okay. Thank you. I would entertain a motion continuing our previous order, and we'll continue the case until March 1st, 2012, allowing the respondent until March 8th, excuse me. Until March 8th, allowing the respondent to bring the property into compliance, being returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. We have a motion by Mrs. Hines.
Second.
Second by Mr. Brown. Second by Mr. Brown. Go ahead.
Just to clarify the order.
Just.
I want to do with this, Mr. Chair, just from remembering from the previous
month
is that we continued every case. So
oh, okay.
It would actually be a continuance permitting to continue to the March 8th date.
Okay.
But
so there was really no. Yeah, there was no finding of
non-compliance.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Himes.
Yes.
And we're amending. Yes. We're continuing the case until our March 8, 2012 meeting. Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Oh,
sorry. This one's easy for me, right? Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Mr. Cena.
Just want to make sure, for some reason it doesn't happen, this will be back on the agenda for more today.
That is correct.
We can go into bike week and we don't have sprinklers up there.
Oh, no, sir.
Okay. All right.
No, sir.
Thank you. Case number 5.
Thank you.
Thank you. Case number 5 is CEB 011206, Anthony Marone, Jr. The property is located at 402 University Boulevard. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Anthony Marone. Yes.
David Newell, Fire EMS Specialist, City of Daytona Beach Fire Department. My credentials are on file with the city. This is case number CEB 01-0206, Anthony Marone, Jr. versus the City of Daytona Beach. Property address is 402 University. The violations are the business license that do not have one, smoke detectors not in each unit, fire extinguishers are not serviced or any on site. The sprinkler system was not inspected or certified within the last 12 months, and a trust sign was not installed. This is a progress report that you requested. Currently at the moment, the only thing that has been corrected is the fire sprinkler system has been serviced and inspected. There are some deficiencies on that system that do need to be corrected. And he has placed all the fire extinguishers in each one of the units as required by law or code. The trust sign, the smoke detectors, and business license are still outstanding at this time. Looking for, at this point, that was the progress report that you guys were looking for.
We still have a compliance date set for March 1st.
That is correct.
Okay. Mr. Maroney?
Yes. It's embarrassing. I'm a property manager. I own First Place Realty and Property Management, and I work from morning until night, and I can't seem to get my own stuff right. This should have been done. And I am sorry. I have to work a little bit harder. And I'll be in touch with Mr. Newell until we get this done in the next few days. There's a couple problems I'm going to have, I think. The signage that needs to go up there is coming from out of town, and hopefully I'll have that by the beginning of next week. But the license itself, I've had that property for 25 or so years, and I'm trying to get the license, but Mrs. Colleen says that I have to prove that I've had that a fiveplex for that many years. And I have. I bought it as a fiveplex. I think it's been a fiveplex for 50-plus years. It's a 100-years-old house. But I helped to find all of the back leases. I bought her current leases, but I've moved a couple times now. Hopefully I'll find them. But if not, I'm not sure how I'm going to get this place licensed. But I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Right now I have to search for them old leases to prove that I've had that as a fiveplex since I purchased the property.
Mr. Maroney, let me ask you a question. Do you have a sales agreement that maybe indicates that it is a fiveplex, or an old record, property record from the appraiser's office indicating it's a fiveplex?
Must. Yes, I have to go through all the old files in the garage and pull them out and
that
find
may,
them.
That may help you with your this matter.
Wouldn't that be in the property records in Volusia County?
Right.
Couldn't you look that up on the property
what I was alluding
records?
To.
Yes, it's in there. If you look in the property appraisers, it's
what?
There now.
It's there as a fiveplex?
As a fiveplex. Wait a minute. I'm under oath. I don't want to make a mistake. I'm 99% sure.
Okay.
What you can possibly do, and I don't know if I can suggest this, but maybe go to the appraiser's office and ask for a historical record. That might help you to expedite this process.
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't hear that.
You may be able to go by the county appraiser's office. I believe it's located on Beach Street.
50 North Beach.
Oh, okay.
And they might be able to pull something up from the past that would indicate that it actually was a fiveplex unit, or you know,
yes,
back
sir.
Then.
Thank you. Thank you. Good suggestion. Yeah.
What is the problem Ms. Miles is having?
That I have to prove that it's been a five units for since I owned it, or because if it's not five units, it's supposed to be turned back to what it was. But there's five central heats and air and five everything for since I've purchased the place over 20 years now.
Yeah, but kind of it appears to be a non-conforming use or grandfather. Mm-hmm. And I guess the question would be, was it a legal non-conforming? Did it was non-conforming back when before we had an ordinance that would have zoning restrictions, or if it is there something that changed afterwards and then it would have been illegal non-conforming, or it would have to be changed back? Or if it attenuated, there was a time period where it was not being used in that
as a fact.
Then it would
okay.
also have
Got
to be illegal.
Mr. Maroney, you are currently set to have the property in compliance by March 1st. Do you still see that date being able to be complied with?
I think so. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Is there any reason you believe that you will not be able to secure an occupational license by March 1st?
Only if I don't find the evidence that I've owned that place, that I've had it as a fiveplex, which I should be able to, and I'm sure it'll come up in the property appraisers also for five units.
Again, if you can maybe stop by there, that'll probably may save you a lot of time. You don't have to look through your lease records. You'll actually have a record from the county.
Yes, sir. Thank
you. And that might help you to expedite it.
Do you have the smoke detectors in?
Yes, they are in. I've checked them myself now, and they're in.
As of my last inspection or earlier this week, that they weren't in at that time. They may have been since then. Mr. Maroney spoke with me, I think, yesterday or the day before, and I think it was on Tuesday when I was there, and I explained to him that they were not there.
When did you put them in, Mr. Maroney?
Well, I had thought they were in, and I had paid for them, and just as I paid for the smoke fire extinguishers. But Mr. Newell went there a couple of days, three, 4 days ago, and to the property. And when he did, they called me from the property, and they said the fire inspector's there to check the smoke detectors and fire extinguishers and sprinklers. And I was happy about that, of course, because we have to get this done. And then I find out from the same person I called that Mr. Newell was not happy because there was something not done. The smoke detectors were not put up. They were paid for, but they weren't put up.
Are they up now?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we can inspect that now. They are because I checked them myself this time. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. As I do with everybody who owns a property such as Mr. Maroney's or an apartment complex, I suggest. Even have a form that they can utilize to check their smoke detectors on a monthly basis when they do, you know, routine termite inspections, so on and so forth. And the reason for that is it's so then they can continually check all their smoke detectors. It's better for me, it's better for their client, it's better for them to know that they're always there, because in some situations people will pull them down. I didn't see any new ones when I was there. I think the thing with their license, I think it was, from my understanding, it was a fourplex at one time, not a fiveplex. So if that was before or after, I think that is the was it turned into. So in the event that he's trying to get a license for a fiveplex, he would be able to still operate four. He would just have to get rid of one. So it's not like it would go back to a single family home. From what I understand at this point.
One comment on that. I've lived there. I lived in every apartment in that house. But when I lived there, I took two apartments over. So at that time, I figured, well, I'll just... it was good for my mortgage at the same time also, actually. So I took two apartments there, actually twice, because they're adjoining downstairs and upstairs. And so for a little while there, I had four, but 99% of most of the time since I purchased it till now, it was always a fiveplex. But
So the fourplex designation then changes, like, from commercial to non-commercial.
Exactly.
Well, it's just what you're allowed to have, and I'm sure it was zoned for a. May not have been zoned for a four or fiveplex. I'm not really sure how that works. I can't speak educated.
When do the rules change after three units? If you have more than three units, do rules change?
This just has to do with zoning, I think. I'm not really 100% sure.
Okay.
I haven't been really part of the discussion. I'm just drawing conclusions from what's being
Okay.
He can still obtain a license. The question is it going to be a license for a fourplex or fiveplex? Okay. And he has to provide the information showing that he has owned it as a fiveplex for the entire time, or is he going to have to join two rooms and make it one big apartment and then just apply to the city as a fourplex? And he won't get that license until the smoke detectors and the trust sign is done also, because those are items that are outstanding that are required for your license.
And just for information, Ms. Condon, I guess what the problem would be here is that if it was fourplex, as a non-conforming use, you can't expand it non-conforming use up to fiveplex.
Okay.
And so that's probably what the term would be determined.
And Ms. Maroney, you've stated that the smoke detectors are in place. Can you also maybe make arrangements for Mr. Newell so he can come out and reinspect?
Right away. Thank you. Yes.
And again, I would encourage you to visit the county appraiser's office, just located at 250 East.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Case number 6, CB011207, is in compliance as of February 3rd, 2012. Lien reviews. Okay. Mr. Garcia has arrived, and we will now review or discuss the lien reviews, take action on those. Actually, what we'll do is we'll take our new cases, beginning with case number 7. Case number 7 is CEB-021210, Coliseum and Burgoyne Properties Incorporated. Property is located at 176 North Beach Street. Is the respondent here?
Sean Hurley. Yes, ma'am.
Hurley,
H-U-R-L-E-Y.
What's your relationship to Coliseum and Burgoyne Properties, Mr. Hurley?
I was the manager at the Coliseum.
You were the manager?
Yeah, we've closed.
Okay.
Probably a few weeks ago we closed down.
Shall we wait for the other party? Is the other party going to be testifying?
What other party?
Yes.
No, probably not.
Oh, was it Danny that went up? Oh, okay. I thought there was another party. Okay. Morning, Danny.
Eddie.
Oh, well, I didn't look up. I just assumed it was Danny. Good morning, Eddie.
Morning. Eddie Lopez, code enforcement officer with the City of Daytona Beach. Case number CE-2012-0062, City of Daytona Beach versus Burgoyne Properties. Property address is 176 North Beach Street, also known as 141 Bay Street. Parcel ID number is 39153301070030. Pictures you're about to see are true and accurate. These are signs that's been littering throughout the city. I've spoken with this gentleman, Stevens.
Sean.
Spoken with Sean over the phone. Sometimes the signs are removed. A couple of weeks later, a month later, they return again. They just posted throughout the city. These are hard copies that were obtained. It's just throughout the city. It comes and goes. They were brought in to code board before. Inform them about the signs, and it just keeps on coming onto throughout the city, the midtown, throughout Daytona. Basically, based on the evidence provided, the city is requesting a fine of $100 for each violation of the flyers presented, which is about 10. Total of $1,000.
Who puts these signs up?
My understanding is agents that goes on that are hired.
The Coliseum is rented out as a venue, which people come in and they do their concerts and so on and so forth, or if it's a party for a college or whatever it may be. And the promoters come in, they rent the establishment for a specific night. And then on that night, they do their event, their concert or whatever it is, and they hire their promo team, and this is what happens. You know, and that's based on the people that rent the venue. And specifically in our contract, it says do not put anything on city property. Can't affix the telephone pole, so on and so forth. And we have actually canceled events because of this. You know, every time he's called me, I said, where are they? You know, a couple of times he sent me pictures and he's taking them down, because if they're there, I can tell the promoter, hey, go take your stuff down or it's gone. You know, we're done. But I have canceled events because of this before. And also I see on here there's other establishments besides just mine. You know, and I personally know the people that own those places, and I don't see them here.
Currently, those are being worked on. We don't want to have only the Coliseum putting signs. We don't want anybody. If it becomes a trend, and it's just a domino effect. Right now, we're working with other individuals that are posting throughout the city. We're getting them as far as
Eddie,
Melbourne.
Let me help you out with this. We can only entertain your case right now, Mr. Hurley, involved in the property at 176 North Beach Street.
Well,
if he has taken action on the others, they all have their, they'll come before us at the appropriate time, but at this time we can't discuss those.
Gotcha.
Mr. Hurley, I would like to know, can you give me the name of one event that was canceled because of these signs?
There was a twerk fest that was canceled, you know, and I remember the posters. I don't remember exactly what it said, but it was blue posters. And they were larger than these posters, and I specifically canceled that event. That was the last one that I've canceled. You know, but there's been numerous ones we've canceled because of this.
Mr. Hurley, were you with the company in January of 12th of 2010?
I've been there since we opened it, yes.
Okay. Do you understand the order that was entered in January 12th of 2010? That if this happened again, there was no discussion, there was a will fine in place.
No, I'm not familiar with that. There was a fine in place?
There was a will fine in place that at the
next time. I'm not sure. I didn't come in for that one, so I don't know.
Okay.
This is the first time I've ever been here for this.
Basically, Mr. Hurley, with a will fine, we can impose a fine up to $5,000 per occurrence.
Okay.
Mr. Hurley, I don't. Are you representing the Burgoyne Properties?
I guess I am. I was called yesterday saying I have to be here because of this. But we're, like I said, we're closed now, so it's we're kind of up in the air. We're not even open anymore.
Do you have ownership in the business?
No. I'm the general manager there, or I was, I should say. But we're not open anymore. You know, we closed down last month.
So your business does not exist anymore?
It does not exist anymore.
Any other name or anything?
No.
But Coliseum and Burgoyne Properties still exist. Is that true?
No. Coliseum doesn't exist anymore.
But
we closed down a month ago. Burgoyne property is just the property owner.
Does the corporation exist anymore?
I don't believe so. If it does, it's probably not going to last long.
Who's the landowner, Burgoyne?
Burgoyne would be the landowner, the property owner for 176 North Beach Street.
The violation still exists. And at the time of, well, Eddie, just for the record, when did you first notify them of the violation this time?
When were they first notified, Eddie?
January 10th. That was just after the one of the events that was in January. I believe it was the New Year's Eve party countdown event. A notice was sent out on January 10th, 2004.
If these people are no longer in business, who's responsible for tearing
property
these signs?
Property owner.
Property owner is responsible. Coliseum is still there. You guys closed down?
We closed down. We're gone. Burgoyne still owns the place, and I believe they have a new lease with someone else.
Well, I have a copy of the Coliseum, which is shows it's still active.
Well, the corporation may be talking about the business might have been closed down.
Yeah, the business is closed down. We closed
about a month ago. Citation he sent out in January, was that event canceled as a result of the citation they received for the?
Which event? I'm not sure. Well, if it's sent out in January, obviously it wasn't canceled because it's a December event. If it's New Year's Eve, that's December 31st.
Downtown party event.
There's the promoter right on the top of it, so.
That was. It did go through, and also a FLA Power mixtape release event. The point is that these flyers are constantly throughout the city and it's basically littering Daytona.
Just so you understand, sir, it's the responsibility of the property owner. I understand what you're saying.
And they called me yesterday and said, hey, someone needs to come down here. I said, we're not even open anymore. Why do I even need to bother? And it said something about you have to appear, someone has to appear, so I'm here.
Are you saying, Mr. Hurley, that the city called you?
No.
The owners.
My old secretary had called me and asked me to come down here today. So this is my last duty for the Coliseum is to come here and figure this all out. So
I'm kind of here. Like I said, I've never been here before. I don't know exactly what's going on, but here I am.
Mr. Hurley, let me go ahead.
You said the secretary called you. Do you know whether or not Borghorn was she calling on behalf of Borghorn or on behalf of? No.
She gave me this letter this morning. She called me and said, I need to go to a hearing at 9 o'clock in the morning over at City Hall. And she gave me this this here.
Okay. Are you still in their employ?
No. I'm not even an employee anymore. So.
All right.
Well, I guess.
Go ahead. I don't know why you're testifying.
Well, the property owner appears to be. We have a signed.
Well, I can assure you it's not going to happen again because we're not open.
As to Borghorn Properties, Inc. So they are aware. And they're not here.
Hmm. That's what it boils down to.
Whether or not he's acting as an agent for business or not, business operating with a certified business name, whether it's currently operating or not, I guess he's expressing as a witness, or I would suggest that whatever he's saying it should be heard as a witness, if nothing else. But if I could also say this, and ask this question of Mr. Hurley, from the contacts that you have with these organizations, did y'all have an indemnification clause?
What's that mean?
A clause that said that if y'all had to pay because of their conduct, that you would be able to recover from them?
There is something in the contract that says if we do get fined by the city, you'll be responsible for it, or we'll cancel your event. Yeah, there's something in there I don't know exact wording in there, but there's something in there, because I do remember talking to, I want to say it was a city manager. He came a few years ago, something about flyers on Beachside, and that's when we typed up a contract, and it's just the same contract that we've always had.
And you utilized that enforcing, you enforced that in the past?
Yeah, this is back when we first opened.
When you've been fined, have you gone back and fined or going after the collection from the other businesses?
We've never been fined. That's, we've never been fined for it, but there has been times I've canceled events because of it. But, I can assure everyone here, 176 North Beach Street, Inc. won't have anything to do with any flyers going up anymore, because we're done.
So, let me explain, Mr. Hurley, even if the Coliseum has gone out of business, and as long as Burgoyne owns the property, if they rent it out or lease it to another entity, they're still responsible for the actions that are taken by that person or entity that rents the facility or building property.
So it still goes back to the owner of the property?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So regardless if I rent the venue to a promoter,
it's the property owners.
It still follows all the way back up to the property owner?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Didn't know that. I thought with a lease, that kind of makes you the person in charge of that property. Right. Learn something new every day.
So we do have a will fine in place, which allows this board and the city to impose a fine up to $5,000 per occurrence.
Okay.
And it is up to this board and the members, based on law and testimony, to determine what that amount is. And we always ask, at least I do, as for the opinion of the inspector as to what he or she may think an appropriate fine should be if there is a violation, repeat violation.
Is there any way we can just waive this fine and everyone just go home happy, please?
No, that would not be my inclination at this point.
Okay.
So I would like to ask the inspector, Mr. Lopez, what he believes would be an appropriate fine for this repeat occurrence. We don't have to actually accept it. I always like to find out because he's the inspector.
Mr. Chair, considering that the Coliseum has been given warnings after warnings, also was brought to the board, given a warning. I have spoken with Letitia Bell from the property owner, as well as Sean, The city is requesting that $100 fine be issued for each violation. Presented, I believe it's 10 signs at $1,000.
Before we actually take a vote or move further, Mr. Hurley, who is Jay Cotter, I believe it said, on the notice that was signed? There was a certified letter that went out, and Jay Cotter, and I can't read the other name. It's D something that begins with an S, I believe.
What is it? Jay Carter?
On, looks like 1222. I'm not sure if that's 1222 of 2011 or 1222 of a previous year. I'd just like to look at it. Do you recognize either one of those signatures?
Jay
Carter. I'm assuming it's Carter.
I have no idea who that is.
They basically accepted the certified notice.
Where was that? Was that sent to 176?
It was sent to 1010 East Adams Street, Jacksonville, Florida.
That's up at Burgoyne's office.
Yes.
Exactly.
It was actually addressed to Burgoyne Properties Incorporated at that address.
Chair, we do have a more current green card.
Okay.
That was signed 1/30/2012.
Okay.
That was not already in the record here.
Was that all sent to Daytona?
Received by Amanda Moore, signed by Amanda Moore.
Yeah, we were already out by then, I believe.
Is it?
We said 1/28/1/30. I believe our last day was the 28th, the Saturday. No, it was the weekend before that, 21st.
So just so you understand, Mr. Hurley, they were well notified back in January.
I understand.
In January of 2010, I think it was a good faith effort for you to come on their behalf, but they didn't give you the full disclosure.
I got a piece of paper and said show up,
the penalty they were facing. So it's left in our hands now because it's not something they did not know about.
Okay.
And as a former employee, it's good that you came out for them, but it's nothing you have to worry about.
Yeah. Oh, obviously, but you know, I'm still trying to smooth everything over.
Gotcha.
You know, still paying the back bills and all that stuff. You know, still goes on and on.
I don't know how the rest of the board feels, but it's happened. There's nothing to do about what's happened, but we can fine you because or fine Burgoyne because of what happened. To me, the reason we're going to fine is to assure that it doesn't happen again. So I think just a little slap on the wrist of a small amount isn't going to do it. We've got to get their attention to make sure that in the future, when they lease the building out, that the people that lease the building are going to make sure there are no signs put up. So I think that's my goal and how I vote, to make sure it doesn't happen again.
I mean, I do totally understand that, but it is very hard to control people. You know, if they're out doing their own thing, and there's places they've put signs up that you don't drive by and you don't know. You know, I drive around town all over the place. You go through, try to cut through some neighborhood to get to a quicker route. You see a sign that's been up there for 6 months, with a date on it. You know, I can't control everyone. Believe me, I try.
But I just can't control everyone. It has nothing to do with you, Mr. Hurley.
Well, no, and prior to trying to.
But if we just threaten to fine and we don't, what good is it? We have to do something to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Mr. Chair, could we make a motion?
Sure.
I'd like to move that we impose a fine of $100 per violation for the 10 signs today in case number CEVO 21210, Coliseum and Burgoyne Properties.
We have a motion by Mrs. Kundick to impose a fine totaling $1,000 for a repeat violation based on our previous actions. Is there a second?
Second.
Oh, sorry, Ms. Himes. We have a second by Mrs. Himes. Other questions or comments by members of the board?
I would suggest that we amend it to say that if this happens again, the fine is going to be increased to a larger amount per day.
We always have that option.
Okay.
Smart.
Okay.
Any additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, Mr. Hurley, what I would advise you to do is to notify the representatives or persons that are involved with or own Burgoyne properties and or the Coliseum that we have imposed a fine of $1,000. That's $100 per sign, which Mr. Lopez found 10. Well, but if there are additional violations, we can fine you up to $5,000. I just want to make sure you understand that.
I got you. I don't see 10 Coliseum signs up here, and I don't see him with 10 of them either. So I'm just trying to figure out how you're saying 10.
Mr. Chair, if we would go picture by picture, there will be more than 10 signs. I've stated 10, being generous and being fair. The main objective is voluntary compliance. Mm-hmm. This has not occurred. We could go and amend and count each sign if 10 is not copacetic.
Plus, you can go $5,000 per sign.
I understand, but I'm just going by what you say. I see five signs, but only one of them is
Coliseum.
Mr. Chair,
I'd like to... we've ruled on this case.
Yes.
And I think it was a generous ruling for this company, Burgoyne.
Yes.
And so leave it, because you're actually not in their employ. I guess they sent you, so you are some sort of agent, but your best bet at this point is to leave it and let them know that next time we have the ability to find more.
In addition
to
that,
it would be better if they showed up, or a partial owner, part owner of the company showed up.
In addition to that, Mr. Hurley, I would further advise that you let them know that as if they rent or lease the property to another entity or individual, they still have responsibility for the actions that are taken by that entity or individual or promoter.
Okay.
And I'd like to say to Mr. Lopez, you were truly generous, because undoubtedly you didn't hit the boulevard.
Okay. Thank you.
May I keep these?
No.
Just so I can, or can I get a...
residence.
As part of the city's record.
Can I get a copy of that so I can go back to the promoters, or is there some kind of paperwork I get for this?
You can get with the city and ask public records request for copies of that.
With this gentleman here?
Who? City clerk.
And she'll have copies of that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Case number 8 is CEB 021211, Brenda J. Garvin Hill. Property is located at 597 Fremont Avenue.
Good morning, members of the board. Eddie Lopez.
Hold on, Eddie. Let's swear in. Good morning. Ms. Garvin Hill, let me ask, when you speak, if you were speaking to the mic, you can move that down if necessary.
Okay, all right.
But let us hear from the inspector first.
Okay. All right.
Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Officer. My credentials are with the city. Case number is CE 2011 2280, City of Daytona Beach versus Biggs Garvin and Brenda J. Hill. Property address is 597 Fremont in Daytona Beach. City limits, parcel ID number is 391-533-901-00010. Pictures you're about to see are true and accurate. This is an accessory structure. That's damage on the west side of the property. If the engineer could transfer over to the next page, next picture, please, and hold right there, please. This is property showing on the south of MLK. This is an accessory structure which is damaged. Did speak briefly with the property owner, and apparently she's unable to repair it. If she's unable to repair it, she has to remove the fence. The fence cannot stay damaged the way it is on the picture. Based on the evidence provided, staff is requesting 30 days to come into full compliance by repairing or removing the damaged chain link fence. You can speak.
All right.
Garvin Hill.
All right. Yes, I plan to get my fence fixed. It has been damaged since the last time we had like the hurricane thing, if a big tree fell on it. And since that time, I haven't, you know, been working on, I haven't been able to fix it. But if the court could give me a little time, I can get it fixed.
Are you intending to fix it or to take
yes,
it down?
I'm intending to fix that in the fix.
Do you live there?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Would 30 days be sufficient for you to do that?
30 days.
You think you're going to have the fence repaired by March 1st?
By March 1st? I don't know. Maybe about, could I get a little longer than that, maybe?
How much time do you think you'll need?
At least by April the 1st, I'm sure I'll be.
April 4th?
Yeah, April 1st. If I can get it extended that long.
Ed, are you amenable to that?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Mrs. Garvin-Hill, do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time that you received notice regarding the violation?
Sir, I don't know.
Do you agree that your fence is in this condition?
Yes.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until April 4, 2012 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second.
Everybody will
Mrs. Hill.
We have a motion by Mr. Bourne's, second by Mr. Smart. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Ms. Himes, did you have something? Okay. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, what we've done, Ms. Garvin-Hill, is allowed you until April 4th. Bring the property into compliance. If you run into any problems, please contact Mr. Lopez. Thank you.
Yes, you did understand that was Hill. That must be.
We're going to move forward with our lien reviews, beginning with lien review number one, which the case number is CEB 0506135, 612 Verdell, Michael Cash.
Morning. Hector Garcia.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to provide that you're going to choose and not provide the truth?
I do.
Amy, can I just read number 9 until the record is in compliance? Just
Just
to get that out of the way.
Okay.
Hector, just give me one sec. Just for the record, case number 9, which is CEB 021212, is in compliance as of February 9, 2012, just for the record. Garcia, good morning.
Good morning, board. I do apologize for being late. My name is Hector Garcia. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as the Community Standards Compliance Manager. This case is CEB 0506135. It's 612 Verdell in the City of Daytona Beach. Michael Cash as being the owner. This property was, there was an order to impose a fine on 9-8-2006. The property did come into compliance on January 23rd, 2007. It was $100 a day for a total of 137 days. Therefore, the fine accrued at the time of compliance to $13,700. We received notification that Mr. Cash would like a lien review, and since the fine has been imposed and the property has come into compliance, the fine has accrued $6,226.43 worth of interest to make it a total of $19,926.43. Being said it took 137 days, this property's been brought into compliance. The property owner's been made aware of the fine that was imposed, and the fact that it took 4 or 5 years to get in touch with us to even make some sort of restitution to the city, staff is recommending that the fine be dropped from $19,926.43 to $9,000.
Before we move forward and hear from Mr. Cash, I'd like to ask either Mr. Sino or Mr. Jackson on both a question. Is there any application of statutes of limitations involving this particular case? Is he still able to bring this forward? I would assume so, because we're discussing it.
Well, there's still a fine there, so he can bring it up. Some of the fine is still in existence. Still, yes, he can bring it back in front of this board.
Okay. So there's no statute of limitation?
No.
Okay. Curious about that.
Mr. Garcia, did he apply for, or I can ask you, did you apply for amnesty during the amnesty period?
I wasn't aware of this until basically.
Where do you live?
I live in South Daytona. And I wasn't aware of this. And basically, I'll make this short and sweet. When I bought this property, my father had just been put into hospice. He died 6 weeks later. My grandfather died 4 weeks after that. When I was trying to do all of this stuff, the code enforcement officer that I worked with at that time, which is not employed here anymore, I see, which is a benefit to the city, I think. Everything I tried to do, he would talk to me in the hall, and it's like, just go ahead and tell him this and this. He'd come in here and completely opposite. I have no monies. I'm divorced. I can barely keep my business and going as it is. The reason I even found this out was that there's a short sale for the house. And I did not know anything about this. And on top of that, Ms. Griffith, who was, like, I think, the secretary before Ms. Hampton, I appeared before the board, and they wanted an engineering report. That's what they asked for, which I supplied. And then I can't remember the lady's name, but she said, quote unquote, let's light a fire under Mr. Cash's butt and impose a $100 fine. I said, but I gave you what you asked for, which was the engineering report. And then it was just then I had was emotionally shot, and I gave up. I lost all my money. I had to tear it down. I had a new roof put on it, which they asked me to do, and eventually I had to tear the property down. So that's where we're at today.
So is there nothing on this property site today?
Nothing, grass that they made me put in.
When we were doing the amnesty or the lien review program, was everyone mailed something, or they have access to it?
It was mailed by whatever was on the recent tax roll, and I
never received anything. I never knew there was a fine.
Mr. Cash, do you own other properties?
No. Well, I have a piece of swamp land.
Okay. I meant in Daytona. Okay.
No.
Mr. Smart, do you have a question?
I have a question for the historian, whoever is the historian here. The amnesty program, had he applied, what would the fine have what would the fine have been to him?
Is it a rental property?
No, I bought it to repair it and sell it.
But it wasn't your home instead?
That was my home.
I would say $15,000. I mean, maximum $15,000. It would have been reduced to $1,000.
This property's torn down. Yeah. It's in compliance. What's the benefit to the city other than collecting a high fee of $9,000? What is the benefit to the public? I think that's an excessive fee in terms of what's been explained to me.
Okay. The excessive fee is that the original fine right now as it stands is $19,000. You're talking about almost $20,000. He's asked for a lien reduction. I reviewed the case. In my opinion, the staff recommendation, between going through 137 days, all the filing work, everything else, all the visits that have been done, $9,000 seemed fair. But it's up to you all if you want to bring it down lower. That's my recommendation.
I'd like to make a comment that I think that the city needs to recoup, at least recoup its costs of all of this. And I don't know what the city's costs are, but the fact that there was no follow-up by Mr. Cash until...
I'd like to make a motion then that we reduce the fine to the amount that Amy just mentioned. Was it
$1,900?
No. Before you do that, Mr.
That
Smart.
Plus the expenses that the city incurred in pursuing
that miracle number.
Is there some way when we get these lien reviews that you could give an estimate of the cost to the city as part of this document? Or is that... I mean, we've said this over and over. We don't know what the actual costs are. When you do these things, could we get an estimate of what you think the costs were?
In my opinion, that will be fair. We are looking at 137 days that the property was not in compliance. That's not to say that for 137 days, city staff put forth an effort.
Right.
But I, too, and I always, and historically speaking, I think I would always ask what was the cost mm-hmm. of the city, especially for those persons that haven't been on the board very long. My history is to ask city staff what is the cost of the city and trying to bring these properties into compliance. So I would again like to ask Mr. Garcia if he could give us an estimate as to what he believes the cost of the city would be.
I can go back, do the research. So if you want to continue this to the next one and do the research for you and give you a time cost efficiency as far as how many times the officers went out, so forth and so on, put into this investigation and come up with a total that way.
Give us a ballpark guesstimate? Number?
Just a ballpark.
Guesstimate? I mean, you're talking 3 years ago? Do you have the case file there?
While Mr. Garcia is doing that, Mr. Cash, I read through the record, and it did. I was one of the persons on the board back in 06, and you were asked to secure an engineering report, but based on the record that I've seen, you provided that after the fact, after the date that you were required to bring it.
I brought it in when I was to bring it. I was 1 month. I was in New York from my grandfather's funeral.
Okay.
So that's maybe that month that.
Yes. Let me look through it real quick. Based on the Code Enforcement Board minutes dated July 13, 2006, it states, based on your case, you had until August 4, 2006, and that's page 4 for those persons that are looking. You had until August 4, 2006 to obtain a demolition permit or a structural engineer's report and return to the August 10, 2006 meeting for a progress report. And I did see something later. Your father-in-law testified on your behalf also. That was August 10th, 2006. And September 14th, 2006 is noted in the record on page, well, it's on that, in the minutes dated September 14th, 2006 on page 2. Says Mr. Cash was sworn and provided testimony and the structural engineer's report. So that was a month later. But you were in New York because of a funeral. Okay. I just wanted some clarification on that. Excuse me, as to why you did not provide it.
Okay. Eventually, while I went through that summer, I gave up.
Mr. Chair, you know how many times after that he was notified?
Let's see. Go ahead, Mr. Garcia, if you have some information. We're just looking through the record to see if many times.
I'm going through the Code Enforcement Board minutes here. This apparently was brought before the Code Enforcement Board May 11, 2006. It was brought back June 8th, 2006, again in July 13th, 2006, August 10th, 2006, and September 14th, 2006. That's when I believe the order to impose fine actually September 8, 2006.
This also include inspections and preparation.
So these are the times
reports
that they were brought. This case was brought to the board. So you figure between inspections and between all that, the initial case investigation, allowing it time, sending notification out, posting mileage, time, the board secretary's time to type up these minutes because you have all the minutes here. I mean, again, it adds up to a substantial amount. If the board feels that $9,000 is high, $5,000 would be a roundabout number with all the time invested in this case.
Well, I can tell you right now that I got less than $100 in the bank. But the only reason that the short sale is I only have $68,000 on my house. My ex-wife charged $70,000 on credit cards, which means that price of selling the house for now is like $82,000 when it's owed $100,000+ on it.
What house are you speaking of?
The one that I'm currently living in.
Oh, but not this property. Is this property for sale?
Didn't have this property.
No, I was just asking if it was for sale.
It's a vacant lot, Ms. Kundik, if that helps at all. It's currently a vacant lot.
But I was wondering, is the short sale on your home that you're living in?
Well, the short sale is basically Bank of America is forgiving my ex-wife $55,000 if the short sale goes through. I'm benefiting nothing from this. I'm actually looking for a place to put homeless on the
Mr. Are you saying you're trying to clear the lien off of your home sale?
So they can do the short sale so that my wife can benefit.
The lien on this current property would encumber all property.
Mr. Smart made a motion. Would you repeat your motion, Mr. Smart? We don't have a second yet.
The fine be reduced to the $1,000 plus the amount that you said about $5,000, so be reduced to $6,000.
We have a motion by Mr. Smart. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second by Ms. Kundik. Other questions or comments by members of the board?
When we were doing the amnesty program, if any member of the board could help me, what would we have? Would this have been taken to $1,000 and that's it, Amy?
$1,000.
Chair.
Yes.
The problem I have with this is just the time. We can't let things go.
Right.
This is the problem.
We do have a motion and a second. Are there additional comments or questions by members of the board? Go ahead, Mr. Jackson.
Just trying to find a solution that may be helpful to him as well as meet some of the concerns of the city. I mean, he continues to own the lot, and I presume from what he's saying, I don't think he has much to do with the lot at all. It's always a problem for us. One of the things the board can consider possibly is maybe doing a partial release, which would and completely release his home city, but maintain whatever this minimum amount that the city is asking for attached to the lot. And if he wants to maintain the lot, he can keep a lot. He can make, as you all said, whatever the payment or circumstances necessary to get it paid off that reasonable loan. But it'll only be attached to the lot, it won't be attached to his home state. Okay. And that would kind of settle both.
Yeah. And in the case that Mr. Cash tries to sell the property to the lot, then it's encumbered by the lender. Yeah. That's good.
So it will be a partial and reduction.
Okay. Mr. Smart? based on Mr. Jackson's statement, would you reconsider your motion and possibly amending it?
At this point, you have to just vote it up or down and go to the motion.
Okay.
You have a second.
Okay.
I'm just trying to make it withdraw.
Withdraw the motion in a second.
I can amend it then.
Amended, you can withdraw.
Okay, I'll withdraw.
Okay. I'll withdraw my second.
Okay. Would you like to make another motion, or any member of the board like to make another motion? The initial motion was drawn was withdrawn by Mr. Smart, and the second was withdrawn by Mr. Kundig.
Well, we need to do a partial or a full release of lien.
Well, I think the language, if you're asking for a suggestion, would be a partial release that would release
all of the homestead.
That's a homestead property.
This homestead.
Okay.
And a reduction of the lien, if you all want to reduce it, to whatever dollar amount you feel was appropriate, that would remain attached to this remaining property.
No, we'd still have $6,000.
The lot.
Whatever you guys decide.
Yeah, whatever number you want.
Mr. Jackson, does he... You still own the property in South
that
Daytona?
Lot.
No, the homestead is still partially yours and your...
It's in your name.
Is it in your name?
My ex-wife's.
Both of your names still. Okay.
So you still own
okay.
What number did we get down to?
Six thousand.
Oh, 754 Dreyer, Dreyer.
Amy, all that Tony said, did you get all of that? I was just going to say, and then we'll just add that figure onto it and all of that legal terminology he used for the motion.
Mr. Garcia, is that amenable to you as well?
Yes. Go ahead.
Motion needs to make a motion to release, to do a partial release of lien on the homestead property only, and then to reduce the lien, whatever you guys want to reduce to.
$6,000.
No, whatever you guys agree on this property. So what will happen is this: all this property will still be covered other than the homestead property. If he were not to do that and were to do just release a lien for X amount of money, if he was to pay that, then it would be released on everything. If he came up with a figure of like $6,000, he paid the $6,000, it would release everything. This is just releasing that one property.
Mm-hmm. I make a motion to do that.
Yeah.
How much?
$6,000. The $1,000 that the partially fine would have been, plus the $5,000 that the code inspectors.
Yes, the motion is for a partial release of lien, with the fine remaining with the property in question. Is that the correct language?
The property that was located on Verdell Street.
Right. The property located at 612 Verdell, with a partial release of lien and the fine being attached. Homestead property, and the fine being attached to 612 Verdell only.
Or any properties of Mr. Cash.
No, yeah. Just any properties.
Okay. Any properties other than homestead properties, and reducing the amount to $6,000.
Is that a second?
That was the motion. We were all getting it in there.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown. Is there a second?
Mr. Smart can have it.
Mr. Smart, is the second?
First or second, but I don't care.
Oh, was that the second? Because I think Mr. Smart actually...
He did, yeah. Mr. Smart had the motion.
Mr. Smart has the motion. Mr. Brown has the second.
It was a Smart-Brown motion.
Other questions or comments?
Yes, I would like... Mr. Jackson, can you tell us approximately what is the value of this lot?
It's in the look here.
Do you know the dimensions of the property, Mr. Cash? 50 by 100, 50 by 110, 40. How much, Amy?
Amy said it was 22.
There you go.
Okay. That's the dated copy of 54?
Yes,
when we were
dated. I printed that January 9th.
Okay.
Yeah.
2010.
2012.
And that was without the house, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
So we just we were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let me take a look, Amy, if you must, don't mind. It seems a little high to me, too. For a lot. Thank you. The as of 2011, just for the record, based on the Volusia County Appraiser's Office, the land was valued at $8,040. The buildings were valued at $14,425 with a valuation of $22,970. In 2010, the property, the land itself was also valued at $8,040. And the buildings at that time were valued at $17,802 with a total just value of $26,347. So the land itself was valued at $8,040. We have a motion and a second. Are there additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign.
Aye.
One nay vote by Mrs. Himes. Motion carries. What we've done, Mr. Cash, is we have released the lien on your homestead property in South Daytona. And we have encumbered any other properties that you own with a fine of $5,000. Is that including interest or has interest been suspended? Just a total of $6,000?
Just a total of $6,000.
Okay. So the lot is still encumbered by a $6,000 lien. Okay. And payments, we didn't include that in the motion. Can we amend or do we need to?
Payment of 30 days or reverts back to?
Well, it's $6,000.
Well, I can tell you right now there's.
No. But does he have the option of making payments?
I'm struggling just to find a house.
What I would do is just to record a new order for lien reduction to $6,000.
They can make
okay.
All right.
One more.
That's
okay. Thank you, Mr. Cash.
What Amy said.
Review number two is CEB, case number CEB 1208332. The property is located at 100 Mallard Lane. Everton and Sandra Carlos. Thanks, Dave. Good morning.
My name is Everton Carlos. I do.
Good morning, Mr. Carlos. Before you speak, I would like to hear from Mr. Garcia.
Morning, board members. This case is Everton Carlos, 100 Mallard Lane, City of Daytona Beach. The lien amount is for $15,000. The property came into compliance 123-2011. This case started back in 2009. The originating complaint was dorm living. Officer Daniel Garcia handled the case, went out to the property several times, spoke both to the sons who were attending school at Emory Riddle, and also spoke to the wife via phone, sent notice, As you can see in the packet that Officer Garcia has handed out to you all, these are photographs that show different vehicles parked there. One's from Virginia, from Florida, looks like New York, New Jersey, a motorcycle there. And again, the parties, both the husband and wife, were aware of it. There was an order to impose fine in 2009. Compliance date, again, was January 23rd, 2012. It was 1,110 days from the order to, before the property came into compliance at $100 a day. So the maximum is $15,000. Staff is recommending $5,000.
Mr. Collis, what would you like to tell us?
My wife and myself originally purchased this property to house our two sons. We are from New Jersey, who were at the time attending Embry, and were having difficulty with housing. To my knowledge, only those two boys lived in this property. We were taken care of from New Jersey, all the expenses associated with this property. I can imagine that from time to time they would have had visitors, but there were no other occupants, per se, of the property at the time. The notices which were sent out, my wife and myself separated from back in 2006, and we formally divorced in 2009. That property has actually been completely vacant since 2009. Only October here of 2011, I moved down from New Jersey and am now occupying the property.
Mr.
Carlos.
Carlos, when you said that property has been vacant, are you referring to the Mallard?
Mallard property, yes.
Mallard,
the subject property.
Okay. Was your address of 168 Kilburn Lane, East Orange, New Jersey, 07079, accurate at the time that the notices were mailed or sent out?
Not completely.
Can you give us a corrected address? Because I see notices especially dated January 28, 2009, and it shows an address of 168 Kilburn Lane, East Orange, New Jersey.
Okay. It was Kilburn Place, and it was actually South Orange, New Jersey.
It's just the order and post and final lien. Did you receive any notices at all back in 2009, Mr. Collis?
I did not, but at
or
that point
wife,
in time...
Perhaps?
Pardon me?
To your knowledge, did your wife, ex-wife receive any notices?
I really have no knowledge of that. No, to my knowledge, no. I don't know.
Thank you. Who is Norman Wright?
Norman Wright is an elderly uncle of my wife's.
Is a what?
He's an elderly uncle.
Uncle.
Who I think visits from time to time. He lives in Toronto. He comes down on vacation occasionally.
The reason I ask, Mr. Carlos, is because we have a notice here, and you can take a look at it if you like, whereby Norman Wright did sign for a certified letter dated 5/17/2007.
I am not disputing. Fine, yes, I am not disputing this. This Kilburn Place. I personally was not living at Kilburn Place at the time because of family issues. I was not living there. This property has now been awarded to me through divorce. And it had been vacant for some time. I only started moving down in October of this year, and I requested a loan modification on it, which raised the issue that's been brought before us today.
So in essence, let me just kind of guess, for lack of a better term, that your sons never notified you that there were violations or potential violations And
no, sir.
I'm assuming your uncle never notified you that he signed for a letter from the city of Daytona Beach. Would that be an accurate assumption?
That's my wife's uncle, first of all. I was not residing at the location. Yes, I was never notified. No.
Okay. Was your wife made aware, to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge, sir. I am not aware of it.
Do you understand where I'm going with this? I'm trying to determine whether or not your wife is a party to the owner, as a part of the owner of the property. I'm assuming at the time that whether she was notified or received notice, because if she received notice, then we've done due diligence and provided notice as required by statutes or regulations. And understanding your personal situation, maybe you did not know or don't know if she received notice. But
I don't know that she received notice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you the sole owner of this property now?
At this time. Yes.
At this time.
Yes.
When the notices went out, did they also go to the property address or just to the New Jersey address?
I went to the New Jersey address.
No, they're posted. When did you become the sole property owner of this property?
The title changed back in December of 2011, I think.
December 2011?
11, yes. Recently.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Do you have that, the property? He became the sole owner in 2011, December?
Okay. December 2011?
Yes.
So that was recently?
Yes.
Yeah. Mr. Carlos, I have a notice here that you actually signed on June 10th, 2009, and the notice was sent to Carlos Everton and Sandra Everton, 168 Kilburn Lane in East Orange, New Jersey, 07079. Would you like to see
it? I signed
it? Yes.
Two-story or one-story?
One-story. Before you speak, why don't you speak at the mic? Does that appear to be your signature?
It appears to be my signature, yes.
Mr. Carlos, let's see if we can just speed up things a little bit. What is your proposition to the fine? We are limited to fining you $15,000. The code officer has recommended. What was the recommendation, Mr. Garcia?
$5,000.
The recommendation was $5,000.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's speed things up. I think it's apparent that these violations were there. I don't think the communication took place between your sons and you, based on the evidence we have. What is your reply to him recommending a reduction to $5,000? From $15,000 by statute, we're limited to.
I would be amenable to settling at the amount that was granted during an amnesty. I think there was an amnesty some time ago.
So if you have knowledge of the amnesty program, you're letting us know you didn't take opportunity.
No, I'm learning of it this morning, just now, that there was an amnesty program.
Oh, okay. Okay.
In the
okay.
last uh-huh. case regarding the
yes.
amnesty program.
Amy, what would be the maximum amount?
$1,000.
Okay. But we didn't use that in the last case, though.
No.
So, yeah, okay.
Can I speak to that about
sure.
Well, I need to. I don't get it off. But as we realize, several things happened when we adopted the amnesty ordinance. One was the amnesty ordinance. The other was the amnesty ordinance. This property is about to be approved for $111,000 based upon the compliance, and got the benefit of a reduction down to $15,000 just from the maximum lien with it. And that whole level was an effort to establish liens that would be more collectible and more reasonable for violators. The amnesty is just that, it's a grace. Mm-hmm. And it was a grace that was granted to people who took advantage of it when it was not
We understood and recognized that the board at times would take consideration and when they're dealing with different subsequent properties and possibly talk to whatever happened with Amnesty. But obviously, the position of the city is the Amnesty was a great form and was going to know to take advantage of it. It wasn't something otherwise cleaned up the books on. But all in all, that if we leave ourselves in a situation where we're bound by Amnesty forever, all of a sudden the teeth of enforcement seems to start waning away.
Okay.
And so this is something I thought that I would like to do.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Carlos, back to the previous question. The recommended amount is down to $5,000. What is your counter, if you will? Amnesty's out the window, so let's deal the numbers.
My counter would be 10% of that, sir.
10% of the 111,000?
Of 111, you said?
Yes.
Oh, no, of the 5,000. I thought that was what was on the table.
No,
was
no I'm you I'm said 10%.
Talk about $500.
Oh.
Your proposal is $500?
What are you referring to when you ask about 10%, Mr.
10% of the... you said 5,000 was on the table. And
that was the code inspector's recommendation.
Yes, I understand.
And so I'm asking you, what is your counter, if you will?
Okay, if I may, sir, that property was never used for dorm dwelling.
Oh.
Yeah, there may have been...
Yeah, if I may speak on this...
Yeah, I'd like you to...
I'm the inspector that went out there several times. I've had complaints since 2007. I've been out there with Laura Miller, which works at the HOA. Personally, took her in my car, drove her over there, even spoke to neighbors that complained numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
I have here tags numbers with every vehicle that's been stayed over there overnight from the neighbors given to me.
Mm-hmm.
Not just on the side, but across the street. I've been talking to the tenants in there, and the tenants give me the same story. They're just visiting, or they're just staying a couple of nights or whatever, maybe. But it's been a repeated thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we've been through this over and over. I spoke to Mr. Carlos back, and I got a note back in here, June 11, 2009. So he was aware of it then.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to prior to that, back in 2007, 2008, to his wife several times about this issue. She said she would take care of it. It went down stating that it dropped from two sons to one son. And then after that, there was one son. A tenant admitted to me that it was more than just a son and him. So that's it, you know.
Gotcha.
I have a real question. I have a question there. A real question. You have the notification that he signed. You just showed that to him.
Yes.
We've got the front page of this lien review request. Let me skip the first problem of son attending school. This is the first instance of me learning of this violation lien, and no other persons live there then or now. And this is dated February 1st, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
I think this case is totally different than the previous one we heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that to reduce the fine would be stopping our whole system.
It's just a lot of inaccuracies. I mean, on the document you signed, Mr. Carlos.
Yes.
You stated this is the first instance of me learning of this violation or lien and no other person lived there then or now. When you signed back in 2009...
When I said no other person outside of my sons...
No. Okay. You said your first notice is my question. You're saying this is the first instance of me learning of this violation. When you signed the document, you signed the card in 2009. It's a lot of discrepancies there.
I understand the discrepancy. I did not dispute the fact that that is my signature.
Okay.
But...
So it's inaccurate to say this is the first time you learned of it.
I am not asking for sympathy. I'm asking for some understanding. I was not living at my family's home during that time. I really don't know how I got to have signed that certified mail because I was not residing there, and it was mailed to the family home in New Jersey.
Your sons were residing there. You've admitted to that. Your sons were living there, right?
No, they were living on the Mallard. leaving the property.
At the property that violated
the property.
Yes. But the notice was actually sent to Kilburn Place.
To the owner.
In New Jersey.
Right. He signed for it.
Yes. I signed for it. Yes, I acknowledge that is my signature. You know, quite frankly, you know, believe it or not, I have no recollection of this notice or anything like that. Or it could be that my wife was in responsible charge of this property down here at the time. Because of the divorce proceedings, I thought she would have been awarded the property, and I deferred it to her. That's what I'm presuming. But it is my signature. I'm not disputing that. But I really do not recall the contents.
Okay.
Or being served.
So this lien goes to the house, the property itself, correct? It does not go to his wife because she's not part of the property ownership anymore. It goes with the property. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Let me just say something real quick also before we move forward. And I'd just like to caution members of the board against judging one case based on the actions that were taken in another, because all cases are separated and should be judged based on their own merit, not based on what we did on a previous case. So I'd just like to caution everyone to be cognizant of that.
I feel on this situation here. I don't like particularly the expression what's on the table and we're in this negotiating thing. I think those discussions are amongst ourselves. We're the ones responsible. I think we've had enough evidence from the defendant here, and we need to decide based on our evidence and our philosophy of what fines are to accomplish. I'm willing to accept the fine of the officer of $5,000, and I think we're ready to go forward on this.
I think that's a
motion, I'll second it.
In view of the fact it could be $15,000, I think that's a very generous offer to accept five.
Well, also take into account that the original fine is $111,000, mm-hmm. and the co compliance manager, Mr. Garcia, has recommended $5,000. I think we're being very generous. And I trust the testimony and knowledge of the manager as well as the inspector. Personally, I do. But do we have
motion?
Sure.
I motion.
We have a motion.
Go ahead.
Need a second.
Mr. Harrington, did you make a motion?
Okay.
What's that?
Motion
on
the second.
He did. He made it.
And I second it.
Okay.
That's right.
Mr. Harrington, would you just...
Time frame.
Actually, just... repeat your motion just for the record.
The motion is to fine. Mr. Jackson, you want to say
something? No, just the town thing.
Okay. The motion is for a fine of $5,000. Do we need a time frame on this?
To be paid within
180 days?
Our typical motion would have been, just typical would have been, requiring a payment, and yes, I'll say this as a city's request, would be requiring a payment of the $5,000 within 30 days, or the fine reverts back to the original amount. Now we're in fear to hardship, we're going to get more than 30 days fine, but it's already been.
And is this on Everton Carless only? It was jointly owned at the time.
That's what I mean. That's
is that fine on property. Myself?
What we're doing is reducing an existing fine. So wherever the fine currently attaches, it remains attached. And so we'll be reissuing under the same style. I believe Sandra, is that the other name?
Yes.
With the style of our form documents that we file, however, the Sandra's relationship as these liens attached to properties in Volusia County. She owns other property here in Volusia County.
I don't think so.
And it would affect Sandra in that regard. Your ability to have her join you in payment of that is something that would have to solve a remedy.
So is 60 days okay? I think. Or you want to revert to 30 days?
Mr. Carlos, what do you?
30.
Based on Mr. Jackson's statement and comment, I agree that we are in certain times of economic hardship. It doesn't necessarily apply to you, but will you be able to make the payment within 60 days?
It does apply to me, sir. And, you know, it will pose a hardship for me. Actually, I retired and came down here out of health concerns. I am not currently working or employed, you know, and I'm in the process of a very difficult loan modification on this property at this point in time. You know, so whatever indulgence.
I think 60 days with then he can come back and
not come back, but we revert back.
Yeah, revert back and then ask.
Let me ask Mr. Jackson or Mr. Garcia, and not disregarding what you're saying, Mr. Arrington. Taking into account Mr. Carlos's statement that it's somewhat of a hardship, he's asked for 6 months, 180 days. Would that be amenable to the city?
I'd rather have payments.
We can set it with a
thousand a month.
Mr. Carlos, while we're waiting, if we were to agree to the 180 days, how much can you make in terms of a payment per month?
I'm thinking close to $1,000 a month.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, can I ask you a question while we're doing this?
Sure.
What if we granted about more or less $1,000 a month? Are we granting actually $1,000 a month, or are we granting 6 months to pay?
Six months.
We accept money each month, does that set some kind of pattern? Would we then have to re-notice him that he had missed a payment? How does that work?
I mean, I would not have $5,000 to pay in the 60 days. You know, I'm just hoping that, you know, something will surface from somewhere over that duration. And understand, too, I did not have control of that property over the duration here. You know, my wife had the control over the property, you know, and the kids there.
And
you know,
and you have any type of recourse or recovery from what that's because you thought that's something I can't give you the aid and you have to go on and get that problem. But, and then he says, I just was wondering if more time meant affects whether or not you can get or not get the modification, which is one of the things we thought we would be able to.
Yes, it's also that's also affected.
Mr. Garcia was going to respond.
Out of the ordinary, normally we don't give time frames. For example, a six-month time period to come up with a payment plan and so forth and so on. As Mr. Smart said and Mr. Harrington, I'm being generous today.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Carlos has advised me that he can pay $1,000 a month until he pays the fine off, which would actually make it 5 months. He's asked for 180 days.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend that if he does do that, if he misses one payment, then the actual fine goes right back into place. In other words, if he pays, for example, today's the 8th, 9th, rather. Today's the 9th. So March 9th, he makes a payment of $1,000 to the city. But then come April 9th, he misses a payment. Right then and there, the fine reverts back to $15,000. That's my recommendation.
I was thinking, and I appreciate what you were saying, Mr. Garcia. I was thinking, give him the 180 days, and within that time frame, without establishing a monthly payment, allow him to make the payments. But at the end of the 180-day period, set it whereby it reverts back automatically to the amount of $111,000. Is that something that you would consider?
And, Mr. Chair, I also would like to let Mr. Collins know that we don't keep up with his payments.
And that's what I was trying to avoid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no problem with the chair's recommendation. Just, Mr. Carlos, you need to know that, you know, this is out of the norm. We're actually doing you a favor and, you know, make sure that the payments get made, because I'd hate to see you have to go from 5 to 15.
Okay, so where are we now? There's a deadline.
We haven't made a motion yet. We're just considering some things.
Okay.
Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing this for, well.
There's a motion on the floor.
There is a motion.
Okay.
Who is that period? Mr. Harrington.
Okay. Sorry, Mr.
We're working on the dates. Payment due within 180 days, which is what is.
Otherwise, it reverts back to.
Otherwise, it reverts back.
8-1. Or are we going to allow until September 5th, because we're already into February,
March, June, July. Now, how are we counting that much? Is it August 180 1st. Or 150?
150. August 1st is the right. Compliance date. To pay
allow
the fine.
Until August 1st to make the payment or reverse back. Yeah.
March.
Or can we say August 5th, Mr. Yeah. Harrington?
All right. Amend that to August the 5th.
The 1st.
It sounds like, and I'm sorry, I don't know you're going to discuss it. There's nothing that would make it necessary to attach it to our board calendar.
Okay. Yeah. Kind of you're right.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Just 6 months. Yes. Okay.
Yes. 180 days from it? Or reverse back to the full amount of 15,000?
No, actually 111,000.
Well, 100 by statute.
15, 15, yeah. Okay. All right. There was a change there. Okay. 15. Is that okay, Mr.?
That is fine.
Do we have a second?
I second. It was my second.
Okay. Are there additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Basically, Mr. Collins, what we've allowed you to do is to make a payment of $5,000 within 180 days of today. If you do not make the payment within 180 days, the fine amount will revert back to the $15,000 amount. So you have to make those payments within you have to make that amount of payment, $5,000, within 180 days.
Okay, very well. How will I be notified of this? Is there a formal notification or email?
Which address? Yeah.
Can we confirm the address that you like your mailings sent to, Mr. Carlos?
Daytona Beach, 100 Matters Lane. Okay. In Daytona Beach.
Mr. Carlos, are you saying notification of this or of payments?
This. Yeah, he wants all of this sent to Mallard.
We're not establishing a payment plan.
I know. That's what I want you to understand.
Right, notification of this decision.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, you will get the mail for the evidence.
Okay. Very well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Carlos.
Thank you. I guess.
All right. Mr. Lane,
our last matter of business is miscellaneous business. That would be number 8 on the agenda, and the case number is CEB 081107, Martha P. Taylor. Properties are located at 38 and 36 South Hollywood Avenue.
Good morning. My name is Barbara Collins. I work for the City of Daytona Code Enforcement. My credentials are on file. We're here for case number CEB 08-11-107, Taylor versus the city. City is recommending that we vacate the lien that was imposed on this property last month. The property has a new owner, and we would like to grant him the time to make the repairs. He can finish the trim and everything within 30 days, but you can see that the cedar planks, he needs a little bit more time to paint them. So if we could amend that order and give him 60 days. And this is the new owner. This is the previous owner.
You don't want to step forward and take your name, please?
Jay Taylor. Fred J. Taylor.
David Wyman. Wyman, W-Y-M-A-N.
Can you raise your right hand, please? You solemnly swear or affirm that you're going to be about to provide the truth and the whole truth and
nothing
but the
truth? I do.
Good morning, gentlemen. Who wants to speak first? Mr. Taylor?
Yeah, I came to you guys a while ago, before the last meeting you had, and I had told you about Joe's Affordable Paint that we were going to paint the property. Mm-hmm. And he and I, we kept postponing it from since that day. And I did like him because he didn't want anything up front, which was, sounds very businesslike to me in these days. And his name is Joe DeVersa. We first met to pick out the colors. We made a deal. We shook hands at that time. He started with the pressure washing.
He actually pressure washed it. Were you able to go by and see any of it?
I haven't necessarily seen the pressure wash.
Okay. He pressure washed it, which it was evident by that there's actually still paint chips on the sides and everything. And the cedar is actually lighter color. Then he came back the next day, the very next day, and it was both, there were 3 days that were cold in a row, very cold. Remember?
Yeah.
Okay.
And let me help you out.
The truck.
Mr. Taylor, if I may interrupt, Ms. Collins has actually asked us to vacate the lien to allow the new owner to make any repairs that are necessary. So.
I know what vacate the lien means.
It's good.
Eliminate,
it's good
do away with
thing.
It.
It's a good
oh,
thing.
Okay. Right. So you didn't want all that.
No.
Thought I'd save you a little time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
He's
yeah. Kicked me out this morning.
It include the new owner?
Add or include or substitute?
Oh.
What was she doing there, Mr. Sandman?
Well, Mr. Hyman, is it?
Wyman.
Have you taken possession of the property?
Yes.
So you're actually the owner now?
Yes, I am.
So okay, what address would we be using to contact you?
The 38 South Hollywood.
You can speak up. Move a little closer to the mic.
38 South Hollywood.
Okay. What about 36 South Hollywood?
That's his property as well.
Oh, I see.
I'll take care of that, too.
Barbara, what's your position for the city? I know you asked to vacate, and
right, and
which
and
basically allows,
days,
like you say, the time.
Allow him the 60 days.
Okay.
Mr. Wyman, would that be enough time for
yes.
you to bring this property in compliance? 60 days?
I believe so, yes.
So we're looking at vacating our previous order and then allowing you until April 4th?
Hold on. Let me ask a question.
I'm asking. Oh.
Don't we have to notice the new owner before we can take any action?
He's here.
Okay.
He's here.
Okay.
You don't notice me?
It would affect the fact that he's here.
I'm a little offended.
Mr. Taylor, Martha P. Taylor, is that your spouse?
Yes.
Okay.
So
we
need to just
substitute.
Yes.
Yeah, this is fully disclosed.
Okay.
If that means forgiving that amount, I need a piece of paper because the title company
is holding
it. Is holding that.
I'll get with Amy on that. She'll work with you on that.
Amy.
Okay.
All
right. Thanks. I appreciate it. You got
it.
Oh.
So basically, we need to follow through on the motion to vacate based on the inspector's testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Chair would entertain a motion. Do we need to add anything, Tony, in terms of substituting Mr. Wyman?
Who does the motion to substitute the new owner?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So
moved.
Yeah. I mean, it's not your ownership, being ownership is just under your name?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Yep.
We have a motion on that, by Mr. Smart and a second by Ms. Pines. Yes. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
One question. Do we need a second motion for the new owner to come in compliance?
It's all part of that one.
It's part of the first motion.
Okay.
And did we give him 60 days?
Yeah.
Based on Barbara's.
Okay.
Okay. Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Do you have any questions, Amy? Or did we need to add something?
Well, I'm thinking maybe we should just reiterate it for the record to be there. If you want me to read it back, maybe?
I think I know. Mr. Smart has made a motion to substitute the new owner, Michael Wyman. David Wyman, as the new owner of the property. Effective what day, Mr. Wyman? When did you take ownership?
Yesterday. I closed yesterday.
That was the 7th?
The 7th.
February 7th, 2012. And we're going to allow the Mr. Wyman, the new owner, 60 days to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. So that's a motion.
Yep.
Until April 4th, 2012.
And vacating the previous order.
Yes, and we vacated the previous order. I believe Ms. Himes agrees.
Okay.
Yes. I believe the motion carried.
No, we didn't vote.
Oh, we haven't. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. I get you every time.
Can I make one comment?
Sure.
Before we adjourn, I'd like to commend the code enforcement officers. If anyone read today's paper in the local section about citing, what, 65
stores,
convenience stores and gas stations, and gaining a lot of compliance. I think that's great.
Are there any further comments by members of the board?
Yeah, with a gun at their head.
Gentlemen, did you all have some business? Oh, I see. Are there any comments that that city staff needs to make or would like to make? Okay, we're adjourned.